This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Millwall Fan Show with No One Likes Us Talking, which is a pity because that's exactly what we're going to do for the next hour on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm delighted to say once again I'm being allowed into the company of Stan Godwin, Darren James and James Kelly, and very special guest, weirdly, John McKenzie, who you just heard on the Leeds Fan Show. But this is what we do on Love Sport Radio. It's a January transfer window of sorts. We're bringing it to you early, a crossover of the two shows. But as always, you can get involved. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. There is much drama where Millwall are concerned this week. Obviously, manager Neil Harris leaving. Why was that? How do we feel about that? We will be getting into it all and trying to find out answers because there are many questions but very few answers. Don't worry, we'll be discussing it right here. But first, as John is here, it is the clash of the weekend. Leeds versus Millwall. John, we've heard your thoughts. Let's just quickly get yours. Darren, what do you make of this one on the weekend? Because it is the first one without Neil Harris. How are you feeling about it all?
I hope we're going to win after all that. God, it's been a very much roller coaster 24 hours. I'm gutted, actually.
Yeah.
My claim to fame will be I was the last person to shake his hand at the Den against QPR. Quite a few of the fans had turned a bit naughty, really, swearing and shouting near the dugout. And he was visibly upset by it and shook his hand. And one of the security guys came over and Neil had a laugh with him and he said, do you fancy a game next week? And the guy said, yes, please. And at the end of the day, I'd like to thank Neil and David Livermore for the contributions to the history of Millwall Football Club because they were good guys and they cared about us.
Yeah, 100%. I want to echo those thoughts because there was a little bit of booing as well that I heard after the Luton game, but we will get into that. Let's talk about the Leeds game and why John's here. James, are you confident in this one? Because, you know, it's weird. It's the first game without the manager. Does this help Millwall's cause or does it hinder them ever so slightly?
I mean, I'm personally not too confident going into it. Obviously, as you said, it's going to be really weird tomorrow, being, you know, this being the first game in nearly 4 years, over 4 years rather, that Harris isn't in charge, and I don't know if that's going to hinder our chances of winning or if it's going to help Leeds win. I've seen their injury list as well, which I think we'll get into, but it's just really tough to call. I think it would be really. It wouldn't surprise me if we did lose, to be honest with you. But
well, I'm going to give you a bit of good news. I've given this news to Stan already because you may be fearing a defeat on the weekend. But if you weren't listening, it was the Leeds Fan Show, and John has a pretty grim stat for where Leeds are concerned, but a very good one for where Millwall are concerned. John, what is that stat?
Yeah, that stat is that in the last 7 games we've played against Millwall, we've only beaten them once. And in London, we've got a record of, I think, 2 in 20 games of wins. So we're really not good in the capital city. So that's obviously in their favour.
When you hear that, James and Darren, do you think, oh, actually, we might have a chance now because Leeds, they don't travel to London well?
Well, they didn't travel to London well last week, did they, against Chance? But, you know, we haven't had a great run of late. You know, we managed to get a point against Huddersfield. You know, ever so, I feel it was quite a bit of a lucky point. Luton as well, midweek, from what I saw, it was a dreadful first half. We picked up in the second half. We seem to be a team that doesn't start well. Like, over the last 2 years, I've found we need to sort of have that spark and have that sort of that catalyst to go on and get a good result. And I think if tomorrow we, now, like, this being the first game without Harris in over 4 years, that if we actually start off with a good start, when I don't see why we can't take it to Leeds, but it is going to be a really tough one and it'll be a really awkward game.
Well, we just quickly heard Stan's thoughts on it on the Leeds show, and we will get them again so you can hear. But Darren, is there any questions you would like to ask John? What do you fear from the Leeds side? Where can you beat Leeds this weekend? Where do you have to get at them from what you've seen so far in the Championship?
They're a good team, but I don't fear them. We fear no foe, after all. But is that true? The record is that you've only won in London in 20 years.
Two games in 20 years.
But we were talking about it. It's something like every 2 years, basically, that we pick up a win. But we're due a win, so...
When you hear that, though, Darren, obviously you perked up there. Do you think, well, that is incredible? Because you wouldn't associate that with Leeds, would you? In 20 games, they've won two.
I'm just so happy. The weekend begins here.
So it does. Stan, I know we've asked you, but what are your thoughts going in this one? Where can Millwall hurt Leeds? We know that they'll be up for it, you know, Harris or no Harris, but how can they hurt Leeds, and where can Leeds change that record this weekend? How will, from them watching Millwall, where will they know they can attack them?
Well, I don't know, really, because it's going to be a bit difficult because... I mean, we told, didn't we, that the coach or manager of Leeds is one of the best around, right? Now, you don't need to be Sherlock Holmes to work out that whatever they might have been playing like before, and they're at home tomorrow, the chances are we ain't going to be playing like that again, and also he wouldn't know about Millwall Leeds and whatever. So, no, as I said to you before, I mean, I don't understand this fear factor. Right, because tomorrow will take care of itself. Harris or no Harris, it will take care of itself. Mm. And I'm confident that we're going to win the game. I mean, it's going to be hard because, one, the division is a hard division anyway.
Yeah.
And secondly, Leeds, I have to say this, for me, they play football in the way that the game should be played. We have none of this long ball rubbish. Mm. And that's been our problem. And I was saying that this time last season. Right, and you know, and that's the problem. Until you get, you know, we've got to get the ball on the ground to feet. That's what you got to do.
Well, John, you obviously say two games in 20. Let's get your thoughts on the game tomorrow because, you know, we know what Leeds' aspirations are. They want to be back in the Premier League. You know, Millwall want to climb up that championship. But if you want to do that, you have to be beating sides, with no disrespect to Millwall. You have to be winning those games. Yeah. But if Millwall continuously have fallen in your side, as are the London sides, you're not going to reach that goal, are you?
Yeah, there's a sense in which teams like to beat Leeds. I think we're sort of set up, as like you said, like a paragon of how you should play football. We've got a manager who is well respected around the world. And I think a lot of clubs, when they come to Leeds or when we go to them, they make it their business to try and upset the apple cart and make things and just upset the narrative, really. And that's been happening at Millwall for years, you know, and we've been struggling against them. I mean, we talk about Neil Harris, but Neil Harris has been causing us problems for years, both on the pitch and off it. You know, he was scoring goals against us when we were down in the Championship, and he was scoring. I mean, there was the semi final of the playoffs as well, and then even when we came up as well, he was always a thorn in the side, like you say. So I think there's an element to which, you know, that teams do try their damnedest to do something against us when we play against them, and that means that when we come up against teams like Millwall, every time, you know, we have to have our A game on, because otherwise we're going to get hurt.
James, is it a little bit weird to hear that you're saying, oh, we really fear Leeds, you know they're one of the better teams in the league, it's going to be a hard game this weekend, and yet Leeds are saying we need to be on our A game, we don't travel well to Millwall, and they fear you? It's weird that both fans have a reversal mindset.
Yeah, the mind game's kicking in. Yeah, as Stan said, you know, Leeds are, you know, a fantastic footballing side. There's no question about that. And I do feel that the way that we've set up this year, you know, as you said, hoofing it long to Matt Smith, just I don't think we'll cut it. You know, they've got a lot of creativity in the midfield, albeit they've got some injuries as well. But I do feel that they've got a lot of backup in their side, and Bielsa's set up a very good side for them. So I reckon they will give us a very good run for our money tomorrow.
I read this morning, you got four players out tomorrow. Is it four players you got out tomorrow? Yeah, I mean, they seemed a lot to me. I thought, blimey, it's a lot of players to be out.
does that fill you with confidence then, Stan, that maybe that Leeds are missing absentees? No, I mean, it doesn't change it.
No, I mean, it don't, not for me, it don't. I mean, because what I'm saying is, I don't doubt they're good players, and I've got no doubt that the people will come in. Well, I'm not saying they're going to be as good as them, because otherwise they'd be in the team anyway, but... But no, I mean, because I just think that, you know, if we keep going round thinking we're going to get beat all the time, well, you know, we might as well pack up and go home. That's my view. But what I'm saying is, by tradition, again, when we play Leeds, especially when we, you know, when we play them at home, it's a different proposition. I mean, I remember we played them some years ago when we was up at Ellen Road, and that Peter Beagrie, he's saying, I mean, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. You know, it was a packed Ellen Road, right? And he was saying, oh, the crowd here get on the Millwall's back and they'll crumble. I thought, where have you been, mate? I mean, it just don't happen, right? We didn't crumble.
Well, let me ask you a question, Stan. You mentioned there that you're sick of this mentality of, like, we fear we're going to get beat. Do you think that affects the players? Has that crept into the side at all? Because I know certainly from talking to you lot, the fans don't fear that. You both said, yourself and Darren, we fear no foe. Do you think maybe the players do, though? Is that just the fans?
I think if you're constantly getting a load of ag in the ear hole, right? And I mean, in some cases, to be fair, it's fully deserved. I mean, you know. When you see players out there playing and you know they can play better, right? I mean, all right, you don't always know the reasons for that, to be fair, right? But, as it's been said before, right, to play for Millwall, right, I'll tell you this, right, whoever becomes the manager, one thing he's got to get his head round is that to play for Millwall, you have to have a certain mentality. You've got to be a good footballer, that's a given. But you've got to have the mentality. If you don't matter how good you are, if you don't have the mentality, you've got a problem.
Well, we're going to be getting into that a lot more, talking about the manager and who could maybe come in. But while we have John here, let's get a few score predictions for the game. I've heard both of your score predictions. I will hear them again. But we'll start with you, Darren. What is your score prediction for tomorrow?
3-0 Millwall.
Oh, what a strong start. John can't believe it. James, what do you think?
Heart says 1-1 draw. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to say 2-0 leads. Like, I don't want it to happen, but it's just what I feel.
John?
Yeah, I just wanted to say before I give the prediction, we've talked about Leeds playing great football. When teams come against Leeds and play great football, Leeds are usually the favourites. But Millwall play exactly the kind of football that Leeds struggle with. We've seen it happen time and time again this season even. If a team sits back and is well organised in defence, they can cause problems from set pieces. That's exactly what you need to do to cause Leeds problems. So I think the Millwall fans should be fairly confident about that, which is why my prediction was 1-1.
1-1. Stan?
Well, I said 2-1, didn't I?
2-1.
Was it 2-1 or 2-0?
Change your mind if you want, Stan.
Yeah, 2-1, yeah. I can't remember if I said 2-1 or 2-0. But anyway, we're going to get two goals. Let's put it that way.
There you go. Well, that would be nice because they're struggling to just only get one in the game at the minute. Yeah. It will be nice. We'll be talking about that as well. But we did have John McKenzie from the Leeds Fan Show with All Stats, aren't we? Next, though, we'll be talking about those two previous games.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
You're listening to the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport Radio, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio with No One Likes Us Talking. It is the Millwall time. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Stan Godwin, Darren James and James Kelly. We were just hearing from John McKenzie there, who joined us because we have managed to be here at Love Sport, the olive branch between Leeds and Millwall, but we've kicked him out now. He is gone and the real show can begin. And you can have your say. You can tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. Just before we get into those two games, obviously the massive news of the week, Neil Harris has gone. We're not quite sure why or what's gone into it. We don't really want to speculate because we can get it horribly wrong. But Stan, I'll come to you first. A, when you heard the news, were you surprised at all, shocked, and how did you feel? Are you sad to see him go?
Well, I was a bit shocked when I heard it, but that was really due to the circumstances. But I did say last Friday, right, that we had the three games, didn't we? We got Leeds tomorrow, we had Luton in the week, and then we had Huddersfield. Yeah. And because you're talking 9 points, right? And I did say that if we'd have gone the week, like after tomorrow, we'd have ended up with no points at all, right? You know, they'd have been going spare. Because the thing is, right, is that last season we all knew that there was things wrong there. But we didn't know what was wrong. And then at the end, after the defeat of the last home game, right, Harris came out and he then told us as much as he could do, right? Couple of days later, Steve Morrison's turning round and saying things like, well, I could name players, he said, and careers would be over. You know, Harris was saying players didn't want to play for him and all this sort of thing. Or the club, right? So they got in these new players. And everyone was, I don't remember anyone complaining when all these players were being signed. And everybody thought, right. But the thing is, what what Millwall supporters are not going to put up with, and have at any price, we're just not going to have a rerun of last season. I mean, that just ain't, is not allowed to happen, right? And I suspect, you know, I mean, it was pretty pathetic against Huddersfield. I mean, we started off well against Luton. I thought, well, this is okay. Then after 10 minutes, we sort of disappeared off the scene. And then, because he was getting all this grief, and I mean, and then at one point in the game, in the it was in the first half, I think, we had two free kicks in their half, and the ball ended up in our goal area. From a free kick against them. That's what, you know, and people were going spare, weren't they? Right? So in a way, I wasn't surprised. And I mean, my view is, and I've been a constant critic, the way that, you know, Harris wanted to play the game. He was, you know, he's a disciple of the long ball. Well, and I'm totally and utterly opposed to that form of football.
I hate to use the word legend, but I feel like he's definitely a cult hero with Millwall.
He's,
a close connection. But, you know, you're saying we don't want a rerun, you know. It's the long ball tactics. Was he right in deserving that grief? Or, no, I don't want to say abuse, but he was badly booed the other night. James, where do you stand on it all?
Well, first of all, I want to say, you know, you can't question how much Harris has done for the club.
That's right.
Like, in the 4 years, considering what he took over after Holloway and Lomas, you know, what he's done in this. It's his first job in management as well, and he's performed nothing short of a miracle in what we've achieved. I just feel that, you know, as a paying supporter, if you go and watch your team playing long ball, it's so soul-destroying. Not just for us, but you think of the away fans as well, or like the opposition fans when they watch us play. And at times it was very predictable. You just think, oh, God. But then at other times it did work. And more often than not, it didn't over the last 2 years, but it's just been a bit poor. And I feel that perhaps the time was right for someone to step in and, like, you know, have a change of mindset and ideas. I even said to my mate the other day that I'd be surprised if he was here past the international break. That's how bad I thought it got. 24 hours later, he announces he steps down. And I didn't want it to happen. Absolutely no way. I've always been Harris in. But maybe, you know, the tactics maybe needs a bit of change, considering we are in the championship as well.
Well, James, you knew 24 hours before. Afterwards, we'll be getting the lottery numbers from you. But, Darren, let's bring you in. What did you make of it? Were you shocked? And the grief, the abuse, how did you feel about it all? And you know, is James right? Because it's a very fair point he makes about, you know, maybe to someone to change up the scenery, freshen it up, and it reached a crossroads?
Well, we'd brought in a lot of new players. He brought some terrific players in. I mean, every single one of them, I was excited to see him come and join us. I think a few of those players have got to look in the mirror. I've said this before on Love Sport Radio. Last season, a few of them were really not performing. But Marshall in particularly, I don't know how disgusted by quite a few of them. He farmed out quite a few players. So this is the new Millwall. This is the new players. And what happens? Queen's Park Rangers at home. Until Jed Wallace got badly fouled in about the 55th minute, I didn't like what I was seeing from those 11 players out there. Mm. They were not getting stuck in. What we expect as Millwall fans is 100% effort. Even if things are not going our way, we're always going to have the ref against us. It's what they do. But when I see players not going 50-50 and getting really, really getting involved, I look at it and think, well, what's going on here? I've said before quite a few times, I love Dave Livermore and I love everything. Whatever Neil said, I'll go with. But I believe that Neil needed someone in the coaching side to bring out the best in Jed Wallace. Mahoney came to us. I mean, it was only on here recently. One of our comrades said, Mahoney's going to be a £10 million player in no time, within 2 weeks. Where's he gone? What's happened to him? I don't think it's just about Harris saying, I mean, if you're a footballer and you get the ball and you can cross the ball, what's someone going to do? Oh, well, Harris said not to cross it. No, I think the players have got to look in the mirror. I firmly believe that Neil's loyalty to certain players and his staff cost him his job. And I'm gutted, absolutely heartbroken by this. I tell you, I feel the same as I did when Keith Stevens and Alan McCleary went in September 2000. I'm heartbroken by this.
So you feel like the fault is with the players, not the manager? Not completely, but you feel like they've almost let him down to a degree?
They have let him down. They put that shirt on, we pay our money, and we want effort. Effort and a bit more effort. Neil gave us our pride, heart and passion back. And I don't think those players were cutting it. He brought 9-10 players in. They owe it to him. he's got them a deal. They've signed a contract. When they go out there, I just don't think they cut it. What do you think, gents?
It's strong words, ain't it, Stan? But would you say that maybe, because a lot of what we've heard this week is that from the outside anyway, and you can give us the inside perspective, that people are saying that potentially Neil Harris, you know, he'd taken these players as far as he could. He'd almost peaked with that set of players. They need a new man to take them on the next step, if possible.
Well, I shall have a problem with these sort of glib sayings about, he's taking them as far as he can and all this stuff, right? I can't get my head around that at all. But you see, as Darren said, you know, you at Millwall, you have to have, right, you have to have a heart and a soul and whatever, you know. I mean, for example, Jimmy Abdu as a classic case, right? Jimmy Abdu played for us in midfield. I mean, when we signed him, I knew a guy who was a Plymouth supporter, and I'd never heard of Jimmy Abdu. And he's played. I said, "What's he all about?" He said, "Oh, he said he's the poor man's Claude Makélélé." That's what I was told. And I thought, "Oh, okay, right." Now, Jimmy Abdu came, he gave you everything, right? He didn't score many goals, but when he did, they were memorable, right? But he gave you everything, right? And you could never, ever fault him for effort, and twice he got voted Supporters Player of the Year. That's what you've got to do. If there's a brick wall there, you've got to run through it. But equally, right, that our lot, and I'm not saying you're any different to anybody else, but our lot are quick at sussing out people. Right, what they don't like is prima donnas. They like flair players, but they don't, you know, they don't put up with prima donnas. And if people do things that are stupid, right, they slaughter them for it. I mean, you talk about Nevercott, for example, right? Everyone says, "Oh, Millwall legend, hero, whatever, captain, and all that sort of thing." I remember in one game, he played in a game. He was a sub. He come on, I don't know who we were playing, but they got a free kick. I can't remember whether Nevercott caused it, but what happened was he kicked the ball away. And because the referee books him. And my boy's sitting next to me, right? And because all the Millwall crowd at the Cold Blow, they go spare. Not the referee, they're going spare at Nevercott, right? And he was being told in no uncertain manner what they thought of him, right? When we come out after the game, my boy couldn't get it. He said, "What's the matter with your mob?" He said, "What are they slaughtering him for?" I said, "Yeah," I said, "I'll tell you why." I said, "Because he got booked for kicking the ball away, which is a bookable offence. He's only got to have one more and he's off. And he'd only just come back from a suspension then."
Yeah.
You see, so that's what I'm saying, mate. If you're doing wrong, you get told about it. And it's always been the case with Millwall.
Well, let's go back to Dan's point then. Would you say that players maybe have done a little bit wrong by the manager? Have they sort of not been performing for him? Is there an element of that in the dressing room?
There is an element of that. I accept that. But then, you know, I mean, because they're, you know, because the manager tells him, whoever the manager is, he says, "Well, I want you to do X, Y, and Z." And once they cross the white line, you know, he can do no more, right? Other than pull them off or give them a load of verbal. But what I'm saying is, so they are guilty in that sense, but my honest opinion is a lot of all this was down to, and when you look at the stats, the goalkeepers had to make more saves than any other goalkeeper in the division.
But since that era, since QPR, he's turned it round. Is that fair to say, James, a little bit?
Well, yeah. I mean,
I would say so, yeah. If you saw the Luton save on Wednesday night that was highlighted, I just feel that it's just a bit. It's quite refreshing, actually, to have a keeper that knows how to save. We seem to have lacked that in previous years. Like, but I've also got to say that I don't think ever that Harris lost the dressing room. Like, if you saw the reaction by the players last night from when he was sacked. Walked away. You know, the tributes are pouring in left, right and centre on social media. I didn't see any of that when, you know, Holloway or Lomas were there. Kenny Jackett was there. They got the tributes out as well. But I just feel that he meant so much to them. And I don't think they ever wanted to let him down. So it is very, you know, very heartbreaking to see him go. But in terms of, you know, Bielkowski coming in, he's just been a breath of fresh air, I have to say it.
Well, maybe it's still a little bit raw. It's still a little bit fresh. You are managerless. Who do you want in next? You know, what names have been rumoured? What names have been mentioned? Or what do you need now as, you know, someone to take the club? What can he do to make it better at the minute, Darren?
Thanks. Me first.
Sorry.
Can you come back in 5 minutes? There's some absolutely shocking names being put up.
Who?
England managers that went. I mean, really, and Millwall about getting him in. I won't even say his name. There's a few people that have been mentioned. It's just ridiculous. Chris Hughton is one of the best shouts, but with respect, he's a very good manager, but he doesn't play pretty football. And with respect to his age, at 60 years of age, does he really need to take on Millwall with lots and lots going on? If he had someone like Stephen Reid next to him, if I had my choice, I'd have Hughton as manager and Stephen Reid as a coach.
Interesting. James, what about you? Who do you have and who have you seen linked?
Well, I've seen Adam Barrett and Kevin Muscat in Sky a bit earlier today. Neither one of those two would cut it for me. I would go for Chris Hughton. I think his experience, like he has a knack for getting for performing well with teams like Millwall in the situation that we had when he took over Brighton. They were, you know, almost certain to go down. He took them there, steadied the ship, got him into the Premier League. I'm not saying he would do that with us if he came, but he's got a knack for that sort of stuff. So
he's got a track record.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Hughton would be my shout. Gary Rowett, I wouldn't say he would be the best option. Wouldn't be the worst.
I think it'd be a terrible option.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and Roy Keane as well. Absolutely no. So.
Stan, what about you?
Well, I wouldn't Roy Keane. No, I mean, he destroyed Ipswich. I mean, Ipswich, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, Ipswich are in the Division 1 now, and a lot of that's down to Roy Keane. Mm. Although he hasn't been there for a while, but when he was there, and he was blowing all this money, the chairman of Ipswich now was the chairman then, and after that he thought, well, I ain't going to get caught out again. So he's a no-no for me. I mean, Chris Hughton, yeah, I've got no problem with that. I've also heard... I saw Karanka.
He's going to want a lot of money though, Stan.
Well, he's a money man. Yeah, he may do. But you see, I tell you what I think is going to be a good selling point for Millwall.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, and that's the chairman. Because the reason I say that is because if you look, I mean, John Berylson has got to be one of the best chairmen there is because very rarely does he interfere. Mm. He don't really have a say a lot, does he? And then now and again he says a bit, right? He lets the managers get on with it. He don't involve himself in any of that, right? So he's got a good name in that. So what I'm saying is if you had someone like Karanka, I mean, Karanka went into Nottingham Forest, wasn't he? And for the moment he got in there, he was getting a load of earache from the chairman because he wanted him up in the Premier League. Yeah. Well, he ain't going to get that from Berylson, right? And even people like Chris Hughton. So in one respect, notwithstanding the money, they're going to have a good chairman in there who's going to sort of let them get on with it and do the right things and not interfere. So, you know, but it's at the end of the day, you know, what I mean, clearly, it's a bit like players, isn't it? I mean, if Chris Hughton, I don't know, was on £100,000 a year at me, I don't know what he was. I mean, I suppose he ain't going to be on that at Millwall, but then he ain't stupid, he knows.
Yeah, money unfortunately does play a part. Who do you think will be the next Millwall manager? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. I'm delighted to say the next section we have a very special guest, Ian Dawes.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Millwall Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with the No One Likes Us Talking podcast, Stan Godwin, Darren James and James Kelly. And you can get involved, tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558 or WhatsApp on the same number. And just very quickly, don't forget to pick up your copy of the Lions Roar magazine at the entrance gate at Zampa Road and Ballina Road on Saturday. Editor-in-Chief Aisha Smith will be pleased to sell you a copy before the match tomorrow. Inside, you can read what our very own Stan Godwin has got to say in this issue. Well, that's it. That's sold. I'm down here. I'm getting a copy. Stan, I want it signed as well. But I'm delighted to say, joining us now on the line, it is Ian Dawes. Ian, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. Always a pleasure to speak to you. It has been a busy week where Millwall concerned. Obviously, the Neil Harris story has dominated the headlines. How do you feel about it, Ian?
To be honest, in a way, I think he's gone at the right time. I mean, I think it was possibly, you know, fans were starting to turn a little bit. So I think, yeah, brilliant. He's done fantastic, both player and a manager. You know, there's been some really good times when he's been involved. But the last two seasons have been a bit, haven't they? You know, been it's scratchy, really. So maybe a good time to get out and still, you know, the fans will still love him, basically. So maybe, yeah, probably the right time.
Hi, Ian. It's James. As you said, you know, Neil Harris will go down in folklore at Millwall. Club legend, wore his heart on his sleeve, both as a manager and a player. But who do you think we should go for next?
God.
Put you on the spot.
Yeah. Second question, Ian.
Yeah, God might help. Yeah, that's all. I mean, it's weird. I mean, there's been some names batted around, haven't there? Like Chris Hughton, Roy Keane, I think, has been mentioned. To be honest, would they come to us? I don't know. I mean, you know, Hughton was manager at Brighton in the Premiership. You know, what sort of money was he on? He's not going to get that at Millwall, is he, to be fair? So it's a hard one, really. Who would we go for? I don't know, really, is the honest answer to that one.
Ian, earlier Stan said that, you know, the last thing Millwall need is a rerun of last year. What can they do now to prevent this happening? Because, you know, we're just seeing the performances can't get over the line at the minute, can't score more than one goal in a game. What is the piece that they are missing so far?
I think, to be honest, look, I watched the game last night. I think in spells, we look good. It was more when we started to actually pass the ball. A little bit more. I think we at times were knocking the ball far too long last season and this season. We just looked long all the time. I'm not saying I want us to play tippy-tappy football in our own half all the time, but I think we need to, especially like when we're on the halfway line or in their half, it doesn't always have to go long, or, you know, we can play into feet and then bring other people in. I think that they're looking at the team, there are players in there that can do that. So I think we need to sort of like have a bit of both, if that makes sense.
Hi, Ian, it's Darren here. Good to see you down the ground and your family down the ground regularly. Your boys are big Millwall fans, aren't they?
Well, boy and daughter, actually.
My daughter, yeah, big one, yeah.
Yeah, no, they both go quite regularly. So yeah. And my grandson sort of started now as well. So
yeah, I thought it was your son. Yeah. Sorry, I got him confused. He looks
That's
older.
Right.
you, in my view, as a right-footed left-back, you were what I felt was a great overlapping back and also one of the first wing-backs, although you weren't called one, back in the day. In 89-90, you won, obviously, the Player of the Year, scored four goals in the season, even though we got relegated. But going back to the left-back and the position you're in, do you think the club would have benefited from having Neil playing a wing-back system?
It's hard. It depends on what players you've got in your squad. I mean, you look at Millwall aren't a big, expansive. We don't go and buy lots and lots of players, do we? So it's very difficult. You get people on loan, you get people on frees, or you spend 100,000 or whatever you're spending. So it's very difficult to sort of get the best players, if that makes sense. So obviously Neil had a way of playing. He wanted to play his way. It's going to be funny. It's like when I first joined Millwall, John Doherty, they had their way of playing and it was very, very similar. But I think the difference between the side I joined and the side we have now is there was a lot, much more quality in that side when I joined. I mean, you look at your two centre forwards at that particular time, it was Teddy Sheringham and Cascarino. That in itself says it all. You know, there was quality left, right and centre there in just two players, but there was other quality in the team as well, if that makes sense. Whereas there's probably not as much in the side we have now. There's some good players. I would say the whole team isn't as good, if that makes sense. So it's a difficult one to sort of say, really, whether we should play wing backs or, you know, we're playing one. Everyone seems to play one up front, and I sometimes think it makes it easier for the other team sometimes.
It does.
You know, sometimes you're better off with two centre forwards.
Ian,
and make it harder, you know.
Yeah. Ian, this is Stan here. First time I ever see you play, funnily enough, wasn't for Millwall. The first time I ever see you play was with QPR. And the reason I say that is because you happen to be playing with a relation of mine in that team. Yeah, Gary Micklewhite, my nephew.
Oh, yeah, Gary.
So, anyway, but I have to say this, mate. In my honest opinion, you are one of the best fullbacks I think Millwall have ever had, in my opinion. Right? And it might pay them well to get you down here to do some coaching. It wouldn't do any harm, let's put it that way. But you see, I agree with you. I mean, you see, I've long been a critic, look, last season and this season in relationship to this long ball stuff, because you've been involved in the game, right? And you hear the things that we hear. They turn around and say things like, well, you know, the quality in the Championship gets better every year, and the gap between the Championship and the Premier League grows, and all this sort of stuff. And I don't have a problem with any of that. But if all we're doing is keep lumping the ball, I mean, we're spending most of our time trying to get the ball back.
Or defending.
And that's the thing. And, like, you know, I mean, we're playing Leeds tomorrow, one of the best teams there is.
Yeah.
And if, you know, I mean, if I mean, it's going to be a bit difficult, but what I'm saying is, it's that if we're going to keep lumping it, when we get the ball, right, when they get the ball, we've got to close them down quick. Now, we're going to play a good game tomorrow, and, you know, the problem I'll have with that is, I think, well, why can't we do that every week?
Exactly. We always seem to raise the game when we play teams at Leeds, don't we? So, I mean, the thing is, I know, like, when I joined from QPR to Millwall, what the fans expect of you, and it was, you know, if you could be having a bad game, but as long as your commitment was there, they tended to be okay.
Mm.
And I would say I do think the commitment the other day was good. I don't think you could knock any of the players for their commitment and things like that. It's just maybe confidence as well. But because they're not playing, you know, not being shown or told, you know, when you get the ball in these sort of areas, this is what we want to do. They're just sort of like, especially like the fullbacks and centre-halves, so as soon as they get the ball, they're just like locking it as long as they can.
Mm.
Like even throw-ins is all like long throws down the line. I mean, I know sometimes if you're in your own half deep, you just throw it down the line and hope you work your way up to a degree until you can get into a better position when you can create something. But, you know, we just seem to be just lumping it all the time. And, yeah, you know, there was yesterday a few times it works, and I'm not saying don't do that at times, because there are times. I mean, I remember doing it at times for Teddy and Cass, you know, ball coming down, knock it straight through, and they were through in goal, which you do occasionally, but you can't do it all
every time. Yeah. No, that's right.
Because, you know, I don't be funny, players are quite good, you know, you're playing against, and once they've done it once or twice, then they know you're going to do it all the time, and it's just, it becomes, you know, they know it's going to happen. So, you know, you've got to change things around all the time.
Well, it was a real pleasure to speak to you this evening, Ian. We really thank you for giving us a little bit of your time. To hear from you is always a pleasure on the Millwall show. Ian Dawes there. You heard it here from Stan himself. He said one of the best fullbacks that Millwall have ever had. Maybe they could get him down and do a little bit of coaching. But just quickly, I just want to say also, the Lionesses, well, they grabbed a valuable 1-1 draw. We know that sounds familiar, against league leader Stevenage last Sunday. This Sunday at 2 o'clock, they face Woodson Park Ladies at Rotherhithe. The entrance for all the fans is free, and it is free the rest of the season. So please, please do try to get along and roar the Lionesses on to further progress in the Eastern Region Women's Football League Division 1 South. I'm eager to keep up to date with all of that. But next, though, of course, we do have our fan in the dugout.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with the No One Likes Us Talking podcast, Stan Godwin, Darren James and James Kelly. They are allowing me to fly their ship tonight. Just quickly, we have had a WhatsApp in to the studio tonight, and it's from Annie, and Annie would like to say she was at the Luton game on Wednesday, and she wants to say she was embarrassed to some of the fans were towards Bomber and the players. She found it disgusting. She truly feels for him, and she feels like the fans have pushed him out. What do you say to that, Stan?
I think there's an element of truth in that, to be fair. I think they have. But then again, you see, it's not black and white. Because, again, you know, it all goes, you know, if we were playing sort of half-decent football, that's one thing. But that's the problem. And you know, and it's frustrating. People do get frustrated, right? I mean, I do, and I go home and get the ump. I mean, it just really does me in.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, Annie said that, and I've to some extent, I think that's right.
James, would you agree with what Annie's saying there?
Yeah, I would. I think, you know, you got to be careful what you wish for, and you know, we've been punching above our weight for a while now. Harris has done a great job of what he's had to, you know, inherit and what he's had to, you know, the money that he's had. So, whoever comes in has got a bit of a job on their hands.
I mean, the danger always is with any footballer who was considered a legend at whatever club, right? If they, you know, if they come back as a manager, I mean, I think one of the greatest legends at Millwall was Barry Kitchener. You know, he tried to get the job and didn't get it. And in a way, I'm glad he didn't get it. Because if it had all gone wrong, instead of Kitchener being remembered for what he was, he'd have been remembered for the Harris, to be fair. That's not quite the case, to be fair, because he's got a record there, hasn't he? So, you know.
He certainly has. But now we're delighted to say our fan in the dugout this week is Bill Warboys. Bill, you are a social media Millwall vlogger. We are delighted to have you join us tonight for a little bit.
Thank you.
Well, Bill, it's a massive week for Millwall. It's a huge game on the weekend, but obviously the manager has left this week. It's obviously dominated this show. What do you feel about it, Bill?
When I first found out, but I didn't believe it. First, I got a message from somebody, and then now I looked it up, and then I was just in shock. I was very aware of the fact that it was coming to a close, like, because I watched people like Linus TV. He's always saying it, and when he started turning on him, I thought, well, I mean, he's been harassing for so long, then, you know, maybe I should start thinking about it. But then I just think to myself, after everything he's done for the club, and I always told myself after I would go to a crappy game, we would not deliver, like the QPR game. I went to that game, I thought we were pathetic, but I told myself afterwards, you know, in the grand scheme of things, look what Harris has done, and I would rather, I know people are going to hate me for saying this, but I would rather be relegated to League One with Neil Harris than be staying up in the Championship with some random guy that does not care about the club, you know what I mean?
Strong views there. Let's see what the guys inside the studio think. Dan, would you agree with that? You'd rather go to League One if it was with Neil Harris, or
no, I can't agree. Sorry, Billy. How you doing, son?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right.
Good boy. No, I don't agree with him there. But there's an old saying, and James just said it 30 seconds ago. Be careful what you wish for. And I'm really worried about this, aren't you, Bill?
Yeah, I think that we are. When Harris was out, when I found out, I thought, okay, maybe we have like somebody that can take charge immediately. But we've got Adam Barrett, who is like, he hasn't had much experience. He's the development coach. But besides him, there's Chris Hughton. There's also Mick McCarthy. People have been saying, I don't know how true that is, but that it makes sense for Mick McCarthy, you know, because he's quite local. He lives in Chislehurst, and my uncle, he's met his family, and he's a really nice guy. He's always saying about how he respects Millwall, and he grew up in sort of like Millwall fashion. You know, he was a lower class, and then he met his family, and he's always saying about how he loves Millwall. So, like, there's Mick McCarthy, and there's Chris Hughton, but the thing is about Chris Hughton, from what I know, is that he's a West Ham supporter, and he wants a Premier League club. So I don't know. It's hard because, like, I haven't looked into it that much. when I found out Harris was out, I just went, like, I didn't want to look into it because I didn't want to believe it. So the only thing is, I know about the possible new manager is what people have told me, so I don't know how true it is.
Hi, Bill. It's James here. So let's forgetting the manager at the moment. Going on tomorrow, the Leeds game. Who would be the first three players that would be on your team sheet for tomorrow afternoon?
I think we've got to have Thompson. That's just a given. I would start Bielkowski. I thought he had a good game against Luton.
Yeah.
Besides the goal that he couldn't do much about, you know. Yeah.
Brought off a great save as well in the game as well.
Yeah. I remember that. So yeah, he had some good moments. Who else do I have? I think I would definitely start Hutchinson. I think that because I was watching Lions TV and he was saying about how Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Sean Hutchinson, Lions TV, was saying about how when he got abuse from the fans, he actually talked back to them, which shows that he does care about the club. So, although I trust Lions TV, like, I don't know what people are thinking because I don't go to away games. I only go to the home games. So I can only tell you what I've seen from the home games.
Yeah, Bill, it's Stan here. I mean, let me just say this here, right? I mean, I don't know whether Chris Hughton's a West Ham supporter or not, and frankly, I couldn't care less. I mean, we don't need to get hung up on all that. We had it all with Lomas, right? And the irony of it all was that the real legend we ever had at Millwall was a West Ham legend, was Harry Billy Boy. Bonds. No, Billy Bonds was the manager, and he didn't get after grief Lomas got, and, you know, so I'd... Well, we've got to forget West Ham because in the grand scheme of things, they're irrelevant, right? That's my view. But so I wouldn't have any problem with that if Chris Hughton become the manager. But we've got to start playing the right way. But it's like everything. I mean, all right, Neil's got it. But, you know, the old saying goes, all glory is fleeting. And, you know, that's what happens. It don't matter who it is. I can't see Nick McCarthy coming back because he's now the Republic of Ireland manager. So I can't see him giving that up to come back to Millwall. If he was out of work, then he might have come back. But then, you know, the old adage is you never return, do you?
Bill, just quickly, what is your score prediction for the weekend?
Oh, that's a hard one.
You knew it was coming.
Yeah. You know what? I've always been positive, and I usually have a feeling if we're going to lose. This time, I actually don't have a feeling that we're going to lose. I think it'll be a 0-0 draw, but we'll just about hang on.
0-0 draw. Well, it's always a pleasure to speak to you. Bill Warboys there, social media Millwall vlogger. Delighted to have him on. It's been a packed show. It's been dominated by Neil Harris. We've talked about the game on the weekend. We're hoping for 3 points. As you said, we fear no foe. Leeds, they don't have a good time in London. We're hoping Millwall can get those points. Next time we speak, Millwall may have that manager. We'll be covering all of that. This has been the Millwall Fan Show on Lost Sport Radio with No One Likes Us Talking podcast. You can catch it every Friday, 9 till 10, up the Millwall.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.